In this video, I'll provide an introductory demonstration to the animation control that ships as part of the Microsoft Ajax Control Toolkit. As the sample application that ships with the Ajax Control Toolkit states, the animation control is really much more than a control. It's a fully extensible framework for adding animation effects. So basically, it affords you a mechanism by which you can transition from one visual state to a next. So you can change from one color to another, from one position to another, from one size to another. And if you and you can do this based on events that are fired from the HTML artifacts that exist on your page, you can also hook JavaScript code that you write. So if you think about that, a declarative eventing mechanism coupled with predefined transitions that you can configure with parameters for size, position, and color, and add to that the ability to add any custom JavaScript code that you want to write. Basically, the limits of what you can do with the animation control extender are really only bounded by your own imagination. So here's a this is a sort of a complex example, and the C# source code for this demonstration installs with the Ajax Control Toolkit. Let's run this quickly before we go and build our own. Note several things happen. So I click on the button. This box starts from nothingness and expands out to its own size. Through that animation, you notice that it changes colors between, you know, a sort of grayish to red and back. Notice that I have mouse over events in my pop-up content here, right? And notice that it's not just changing, but there's actually a an animation effect that's taking place. So it's a secondary animation that's making this go from white to red over the period of maybe a second and then back. When I close this, notice that it shrinks up. Another thing to notice is that while this is open, this click button is disabled. So strictly speaking, it's not a modal dialog, but automatically wired in is the ability to use events and visual transitions to sort of coax the state of the user interface. Right, so that's a sort of a complex example. For expediency, we're gonna build a demo that's a little bit like this, but that is much more simplistic in nature. So to do that, we'll fire up Visual Web Developer, and we can create a Ajax-enabled web application. We use Visual Basic as the programming language, and we'll call it AnimSample. Now, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to grab a style sheet that I want to use on my page and a couple of images. Go into my default.aspx page, drag that style sheet into my page to create the style sheet reference. And now we're ready to start building out our page. Since animations are based on events that are generated from our HTML comment content, first we'll need some of that content. So I'm just going to add a couple of spacings and do a little more spacing here. Next, we're going to need a button whose event we can work with. So let's grab an ASP.NET button. Let's call it button info. It's going to be run at server, of course. So just setting the on client click event handler to be a little JavaScript snippet, return false. Right, so I've got just a little bit of page, a little bit of page logic there. Now we can build out the content that's going to be used in the animation. So it's not going to appear by default, but we'll let's define a div here. Call it fly out, and this is just going to be the a wireframe for a wireframe that will go around the content that's going to appear and disappear based on the behavior of the animation. So let's also give that a class. Next, we'll add a div that will be contain the actual content that will fly out and be contained inside that wireframe that we just defined in the previous div. So let's give that a name of info. And so you don't have to watch me fat finger this. I'm just going to use a piece of style and I guess IntelliSense is really working on helping me there. So now we've got here just a whole collection of style, and this is part of what provides the basis for the transition. So for the sake of expediency, I'm not going to enumerate all of these attributes. Some of them are CSS standard. Some of them are not necessarily, but you can use this as a template, and most of these things should be familiar to you. And then we have to close that div. Form up my HTML here a little. Inside that div, we could just add some content. This is in our case, it's text. It can be any HTML markup that you want, so it can include, you know, buttons or links or whatever you want. In fact, the demo that installs with the sample website for the AJAX Control Toolkit has more complex content inside the area that flies out. The next thing we need is an area to contain some item that will be used to close this thing that we're opening up. So let's add another div, and I'll call it button close parent. And again, there are a collection of styles here that need to be applied. So, oops. Close up that div, and now I can go in and add the style. And inside that, we need some element that could be used to generate an event. So let's use an ASP.NET link button. Right, and this is what's going to be the X that can be used to close that window that opens up through the animation. Just call it button close. Let's expand this a little bit. Let's get rid of that and now, again, on client click, Return false. Text equals, and we'll just put a capital X here because we're simulating the normal Windows convention of an X being used to close out the some form element that's being displayed. We'll also provide a tooltip so when the user hovers over that X, it'll tell them what's going to happen when they click on it. Last thing is we're going to again add the style that's going to be necessary. So again, I know that's a little there's a lot of this inline style here. I've actually played with pushing this out to an external style sheet, but because opacity is not standard, and we need to set it to zero so that the element doesn't appear, I didn't have any luck. If further research reveals a way to successfully accomplish that, I will certainly post it to my blog at www.joeon.net. Okay, so the next thing that we need is we need a little bit of JavaScript to help us overlay one piece of content on top of another. So for that, with this little piece of JavaScript code here, and notice that all this is doing is it's taking three arguments. One is optional, and basically it's saying, here's the element that I want to be on the bottom, here's the element that I want to be on the top. I can choose to make it the same size or as the underlying element or not, so we can override the size if we want to. And then here we're just getting the location of the object that's on the bottom and figuring out where the new object should go. That's all this little piece of snippet code does. And then all that's left is to define the actual animation controls themselves. Now, in our case, we need two animation controls. One is because we want an animation to take place when we click on the button. Oops. When we click on this button, we want one animation to take place, and that's that the box of text is going to appear. But to make that box disappear, we need to program an animation on a different item, and namely the click event of that Xbox. So there are a lot of parameters to these animation controls. So for the sake of expediency, I'm going to include them by using snippets. So these are not auto magic parts of the Ajax Toolkit install. These are just snippets that I've pre-written. And one of the things I really want to encourage you about is that as I mentioned earlier, the limits to what you can do with these animation controls is bound only by your own imagination and your understanding of HTML and JavaScript. So this is just an example. We'll walk through. They're actually quite similar, but you'll notice that the target control for the first one is button info, the button that's showed on the page by default, and then the target for the second animation control is button close, which only appears after we've clicked on button info. Right, so hopefully that makes it clear to you in terms of what's why we need two of them. And remember that the target of this animation doesn't exist until after somebody's clicked on the button and that Xbox area has appeared. Right, so just quickly, let's look at these parameters, and this is definitely something you'll have to look at the documentation to start to flesh out the details. Here's our animations collection, and we have this onClick section, and then we're defining a sequence. So this is a sequence of events. So part of how we manage the definition of this animation is to define the sequence of things that we want to happen, and We can group them, as you see here in this parallel section. Some of them we want to happen at the same time. So we want this to happen first, then we want this to happen, then we want this whole group of things all to happen at the same time. So in this case, enable action, enabled equals false, so we're going to turn that button off while the animation has appeared, and it'll stay there until we set it equal to true in the closing animation. So this is the opening animation. Right? Then we're going to position that wireframe, and we're going to do that by declaring the script action to be a call to that cover JavaScript function that we defined up here. Right? And notice that we're passing in the button info object and the flyout object, which is that wireframe that we want to, so it's just that div that we defined with no content in it, and we just picked up a style sheet from our CSS file. Right? So we specify what the script is going to be, and then we define the action. Right? So the target's going to be flyout, it's going to be displayed. Then move the wireframe from the button's bounds to the info panel's bounds, and this is the thing that causes that effect where it looks like it starts from almost nothing and then moves itself into place. Right, so these things happen in parallel, so it's going to be moved into the right place and resized up to this size, and also this is going to establish the colors for us. And you can get really fancy. I confess to being artistically challenged, but you can get really fancy in terms of, you know, if you know, you know, if you're a design guy and you have that sort of imagination, you can get as fancy as you like. Then we're going to move the panel that actually contains the textual content on top of the wireframe. So again, setting the script action with a call to the cover event. We're going to cover up the flyout, which is the wireframe that we just moved out there, with the info panel. And we're going to ignore the size. We're going to use the size that we specify so that the border, that the actual sort of dark outside frame will continue to appear, won't be completely overlaid. Here's the style action. Here's our animation target is the info div. Here's how we want it to appear. So this is how we want the fade in to take place. Here's the target. Here's the duration, so how long we want it to take. This is going to be fairly quick. And again, the style action. You'll note here that that this is basically just the reverse, right? So it's gonna fly back out, and basically, you know, this is, will cause it to fade out, right? And then it'll actually it'll appear to disappear, and we're gonna reset the display values so that it doesn't, so that it's not visible, but it would be ready for the next open animation. And then lastly, we're going to set that original button on the page enabled equal to true, so it's available to be clicked again. Right? And I know this is sort of you know, there's sort of a whole lot of variables that are here, and this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the kinds of things that you can do with the animation control. So there are a great deal more events and behaviors that are available. And again, this is one of those that particularly you UI-focused folks will need to drill down into the details of the animation extender to see how you can apply your design skills to the behaviors that you can get by using the animation control. So now let's go ahead and run. And here's our default display. We click on the button. Notice that the animation sort of flows out. Here's my markup. In our case, just text, but again, it can be any HTML that you want. Click on the button. There's actually a mouse over event that you can trap. So in addition to showing the tooltip, you can change the colors as the sample that ships with the toolkit shows. Click on that, and it shrinks and disappears, and then this button gets reactivated. And that's it. That's an introductory form of using the animation control extender. Hopefully, in the near future, we'll be able to, both myself and other guys on the ASP.NET team, can produce some more detailed, more advanced usages of the animation control extender. But please don't formulate your entire view of what you can do with this animation extender based simply on this one demo, because again, the idea of the animation control extender is not just to do pop-ups, but in fact to allow you to do transitions from any size, position, or visual attribute like color that you want to. So it's a super powerful control, and if you have some neat uses of the animation control, please go ahead and use the suggestions box to contact me on the ASP.NET page. I'd love to see the cool stuff that you're doing with the animation control extender that ships with the Microsoft Ajax Control Toolkit.